In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So I was away for most of this week at a conference, and it was about various things of church building, and then I was at diocesan convention over the weekend. It's been a bit of a busy week, but I guess having all these things floating around in my head made me decide today to do something a little different when I stand in the pulpit today. Now you're going, oh, heaven help us, what's he up to today? Open your bulletins, and you will see a little blank piece of paper. There's nothing on it, just a little blank sheet of paper. All right. Does everybody have a writing utensil? Or maybe you could borrow one from someone, or I think there should be one in the pew in front of you if there's not. Now, for those of you who are longtime people, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you just to write it down. You don't have to share it. We're not turning it in. I just want you to write down, what do you love about St. Matthew's? And if you're relatively new, you've joined recently, or you're visiting, what brought you to St. Matthew's? So, been around for a while, what do you love about St. Matthew's? If you're fairly new, what brought you to St. Matthew's? Now, I have another question for you. I just want you to write this down. What is your dream for this church? Or what do you want out of a church? So dream big. What would be the thing you would love to see? Or what would be the thing that would feed you the most? I see eyes starting to look back up at me now. All right, now I'm going to ask a challenging question. What will you do to make that happen? I think that's a challenge. Think about that. What can you do to make that happen, your dream happen, or now, I want you to take a look at those. Again, we're not going to turn these in. You don't need to share them. This is just for you. But as we're looking at that, I want you to bear those things in mind as we then look at this piece from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Now, St. Paul has this line. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone." You might think of that when I was a kid at Vacation Bible School. These things that stick in your head over the years. You know, the song, "Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice." You're probably thinking it's way too early for that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I think when we read this, it's very easy to think, oh, he's talking about sort of just this mindless optimism. Oh, you know, just be happy and enjoy things. But let me tell you, this is not a first century Pharrell Williams happy. St. Paul is not asking us to clap along. Because that would be a very easy message. But what this is a passage of deep faith. It's a deep and challenging faith even. Because we always have to go back to what was going on in that first century context. And it wasn't a happy, clappy time in the church. I think what Paul is telling this church in Philippi is that even in difficult times, even when we are uncertain, even when our instincts tell us we should fight or flight, even in all of those times, we can find joy in God. Because then Paul goes on to say, do not worry about anything. Now, I mean, even when things are easy, we have something to worry about, right? But he says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so again, as things are challenging, Paul challenges us. Because he reminds us that we always have something to be thankful for. And that thanksgiving is an active verb. And that we have to actively show that thanksgiving. And he, his last paragraph, he ends this letter by saying, basically, just do what is right. Now, this message of gratitude amid trouble is kind of perplexing. Because that's a challenge to all of us, to be grateful when we are going through difficult times. Gratitude and trouble are kind of like those two flavors that shouldn't mix, you know, like salted caramel or sweet and sour. And yet, when you put them together, somehow it works. Gratitude relieves fear and makes hardship more palatable. Now, we are also today, we're faced with the gospel reading of the parable of the wedding banquet. And this is one of, this is probably, I think it's Jesus' last parable in the gospel. And the parable, while it may seem odd, you know, my mother used to always say this was about this, remember the guy who gets thrown out for not wearing the right clothes? And my mom would always remind me about that when I didn't want to wear a suit to church. It's not about that. Sorry, Mom. I hope she doesn't listen to this week. What this parable about is also like St. Paul's writing. This is a parable about gratitude. You have a king who throws a wedding banquet, and the king invites all his friends to this wedding banquet. You know, you can imagine who a king throws a wedding banquet for. You have all the nobles, these higher-ups, the important people of society, or at least as society might view the important people. This wedding banquet is going to be a big deal. And even if you were somebody of significance in your society, this would be something you would assume everyone would be honored to attend. But they don't. Everyone has an excuse of why they can't attend. Some even mistreated the messengers. This is turning down a free gift of grace. It's like turning down the life with God to which we are all invited. And people still do this. People still have excuses too. I'm too busy. Maybe I'm just not good enough to, you know, love Jesus or have Jesus love me, which is actually a very sad statement. You know, maybe this is a bit of cynicism, of, you know, the proverbial beating of the servants. Oh, all that stuff about Jesus is just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And so, in the parable, no one shows up. And the king thinks, I put all this money into this. Somebody has to eat the food and drink the wine and enjoy the party. So he sends the servants back out and he says, just invite anybody. Anybody you run across, anybody off the street. I want to fill my banquet hall. And so they go out. And sure enough, the people in the street, they show up. And then we have that one guest. There's always that one guy. One guest is not properly attired. Now, we have to think about this for a second. That guest should not have ever been there in the first place. This was not a person of any significance that would have been invited to a royal wedding. And yet, this person was given an unimaginable opportunity to do something that he never would have been able to do. And the problem here is that the guest does not show gratitude. This is mooching off of God's grace. This is like when human beings are given grace and we don't show active gratitude. It's taking without giving. It's asking for forgiveness without forgiving. It's judging without seeing our own faults. It's talking big about religion without having discipline. It is what 20th century writer Dietrich Bonhoeffer referred to as cheap grace. And it boils back to that idea of gratitude. Now, gratitude is not just about saying thank you. Well, certainly that's a part of it, but it's not all of it. And gratitude is not just about that warm, fuzzy, nice feeling when somebody does something good for you, although that's certainly part of it. But gratitude is more. Gratitude is about turning that grace back around and shining it on others. It's putting aside fear and excuses and giving because we have received. It is about remembering that we have some agency in showing God's kingdom here on earth. And yes, we cannot expect to get something out without putting something in. It's not that we earn this grace because of something we do, but it is we do because we have been given. And so when we look at the parable of the wedding banquet, we have to look at one of three possibilities. And I think in some ways we fit into all three of these categories at different points in our lives. So we have to ask ourselves, when are we like those who turn down God's invitation? When do we ignore the call of Christ? At other times, we have to ask ourselves, when are we like the one who showed up improperly attired, that is, wanting to receive without giving back in gratitude? And then thirdly, when are we like those who came in off the streets, knowing that we are getting something far greater than we deserve? And like St. Paul urges us to do, we rejoice always because of the grace we have been given. And we actively show this gratitude. And so I had you guys start off with this little exercise. And I think it's only fair if I make you guys make a list. I'm going to make one too. And so I will share it with you. My list, the thing that I love about St. Matthew's. What I love about St. Matthew's is the public witness to the gospel that is practiced in this church. All the time. The giving out of our money, the showing up when there are tragedies to ring our bell. The many ways that we are a public presence of the good news. That is what I love about being here. My dream for St. Matthew's is whenever someone says church, people will think of all the good things you do. And what I will do to work to continue to make that dream happen is to continue to be present publicly in this community and encourage all of you and support you in your ministries as well. Amen.